All over the world, people are starting to make plans for Christmas. It's such a wonderful time to meet up with friends and family, and even though this year it will be different for many of us, we still enjoy making those plans and we enjoy reminiscing and thinking about the types of things that we would usually be doing with family. And sometimes that will involve us planning to make food for the Christmas dinner or Christmas lunch, or it might be that we're making food for some of our vegetarian friends and family who will be joining us. Whatever we're planning to do, it takes some thought, and it was my pleasure to speak to Alex, who is our guest for today, and to discover how she would normally spend Christmas and the types of food that she enjoys making. I think what was interesting about our conversation is that we started to talk about sweet things. We talked about biscuit making. We talked about the types of biscuits that we love to make, or that Alex loved to make. And we continued to talk about the biscuits and ended up talking about something sweet. But to find out what we talked about, you're going to have to listen all the way through. And I hope you enjoy this conversation.
Usually around Christmas, I go home for Christmas. So, and because I work in education, that means finishing a little bit earlier, I think, than most people, which means a lot of time to kind of go home and be with my family and also really get into cooking then, because my mum does most of the cooking over Christmas. And I always go home for that, and we usually spend the time in the run-up for Christmas making kind of traditional Austrian Christmas biscuits, because she's Austrian. So we've got a lot of kind of traditions around food that are kind of a mix of Austrian and British kind of things.
You're gonna have to tell me a little bit about that. Austrian cookies, Austrian biscuits. Yeah. Yum.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I really look forward to, and actually something that I don't think I've ever made for myself, or maybe sometimes as gifts for some friends. But yeah, my favorite is probably the vanilla kipfel, which is a kind of very soft, melt in your mouth, buttery vanilla crescent shaped biscuit. And I think it's quite traditional to make lots and lots of different biscuits around Christmas. So that's kind of one of my favorite, and something that we make quite a lot. And then, yeah, things called Husankrapfel, which is like a little similar kind of texture, made from a kind of nut base rather than using so much flour. So either ground hazelnuts or ground almonds. It's like a thumbprint biscuit with jam in the middle.
Oh, I think I know this biscuit. I think are these the ones that they have in places like IKEA, perhaps?
They probably have something similar. Yeah, they also have a kind of similar one, which a Linzer biscuit, which is a bit like a fancy jammy dodger. So yeah, kind of lots of different things. They're usually quite a selection of different biscuits around this time.
So they must make the house smell really nice, because like when you're talking about it, I'm thinking gingery, cinnamony, or am I wrong?
Oh yeah, definitely some of them are. And it's just that, I don't know, the particular smell also with using the kind of toasted hazelnut or almond in those kind of biscuits, that's just, yeah, it's that lovely buttery kind of cooking smell. Yeah, I think a lot of Christmas for me is really about the food and the kind of smell of kitchen, and spending time, a lot of time with my mum in the kitchen and making things together and chatting.
Yeah. And we've all had a very interesting year. So how is it going to be different for you this year, if at all? I mean, would you be spending a lot of time in the kitchen with your mum?
Well, I think that in a way, this year, because we haven't been able to spend very much time together. I think when I do go home, that those kind of traditions are going to be somehow, I think, even more important, especially as I have a nephew now who was born during lockdown.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, which is really exciting. So, and I think that in a way we really want to kind of embrace that with him, you know, having him in our family. So yeah, I think I will be in the kitchen with her a bit. Sadly can't be at home for as long or kind of go home as early as I usually would, so it'll probably be a bit less time, but yeah.
So when you talk about a traditional Austrian Christmas dinner, what would be the favorite of you know, the favorite meal for maybe a main, or do you not do it like that?
Because actually, I think that we don't. I think traditionally you would have goose or like that, and that's actually not something we ever have. We do really the Christmas main meal dinner is quite traditional in the sense that we have turkey and we have potatoes and roast vegetables and bread sauce and all of those kind of things, which is actually, for me, I'm a vegetarian for most of the year, but I'm a bit flexitarian because I do have meat at Christmas. It's kind of like special occasion meat eating. So I will be enjoying some of that, as well as making probably like a nut roast or some sort of vegetable pie or something like that, especially as my partner will probably be joining us for Christmas and he's kind of fully vegetarian. So that will probably be our responsibility this year, is to make the vegetarian option.
Have you discovered any new spices or new herbs that you might use in your Christmas?
Well, I do really love caraway. Love that with kind of cabbage and that kind of combination of flavors is really nice, and so maybe something using that. Somehow that feels very wintry to me.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Christmas in London is that it's wintry, and vegetables in winter for some people are not very exciting, but you can actually get away with icing it up, or, you know, making it more interesting than usual. I mean, think about what we do with our sprouts, for example. Every year there's a new recipe that's been added onto the national repertoire. You know, people are like making the sprouts with a kind of a new twist, and sometimes with wraparounds like bacon and things like that. I think that's really interesting in a country where you're very limited sometimes in the winter to the array of vegetables that you can use. Do you find the same thing in Austria?
Well, I don't know.
I know you don't live
there. I haven't lived there for a very long time. I only lived there when I was very young, so I don't really know so much about that. But here I get a veg box delivered, and it's not only kind of British that we get within that. So I think that although, yeah, if I was probably eating just things grown here, then there would be, I do seem to be getting a lot of cabbages at the moment. That's quite heavy on it, and a lot of squashes, but I do love squashes, and there's a lot of really delicious kind of different types of squashes that I, yeah, really enjoy cooking around this time, whether it's in curries or just roasting them or that kind of thing.
I mean, the thing about food is that it's so personal as well as not personal. So I'm just thinking about your you mentioned earlier about the squashes and the cabbages. Mm-hmm. And for me, I love to eat the green cabbages, you know, not the ones that kind of like the light ones where you you know, where you use for a lot of the coleslaws.
Kind of tight
yeah,
pale cabbages, yeah.
As...
I mean, yes, I've have been, I think I didn't realize actually how many different types of cabbages there are, since getting these Riverford box of vegetables every week. It's quite an exciting challenge to get some, often things that I've never cooked with before, and get to kind of play and find recipes and search through my cookbooks to find things that I can use them for. So yeah, I do kind of enjoy that little bit of like a challenge of something. And there sometimes are things that I don't like, as well, that I realize that are just things that perhaps aren't for me. Like, I think I got persimmons for the first time this year, and I'm probably not letting them ripen enough, but I just think that they taste like they suck all the moisture out of your mouth.
it's really refreshing to hear you being very honest, because people think that just because you're a vegetarian or, you know, vegan, maybe that you only ever like, you know, like that you like all kinds of it, like you like all vegetables.
Oh yeah, I mean, I like a lot of vegetables. I think there's
but there are going to be some that you
don't like. Yeah, there's very few. There's that, and there are often things that I just probably, you know, if I hadn't been getting this box, I would never have, I may never have tried or come across. There's a vegetable that's not from around this time of year called Sima Durapa, which I'd never heard of it, I think, until last year. And it's just, it's very, I'm not so keen on ones that are very bitter. And for me, and once again, I may have left it for too long or something, but yeah, it's really bitter. Like endives and things like that. Oh, I really don't like that kind of very bitter taste.
Yeah. Have you ever tried celeriac?
I have. I do love celeriac. Yeah.
I think it's one of those, for me, it's one of those, what do you call those tastes that you kind of have to get used to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to be, as a child, I was a very picky eater. So there's lots of things that I think over time, despite that, I always wanted to try things, I've definitely kind of got used to liking over time. Yeah. I'm sure maybe those more bitter flavors will also come in later life as my palate develops.
Well, as I always tell people, it took me ages to like tomatoes. I liked it in stews and things like that, but I never liked it to eat it. You know, and some people eat it as a fruit. I would never be that person. But when I got older, I finally managed to eat my first one. And the only reason I did that was because I grew it.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. That does make all the difference, growing them. They do, I don't know, you get, since I moved this year and had the chance to kind of grow things in my garden, and everything just tastes so much more delicious that's homegrown. But you also kind of appreciate it more after all your hard work and failures and whatnot along the way of growing things.
Yeah, and that's one thing we talk about a lot on the podcast. We have someone who's a gardener on the team, and she comes on every once in a while and she tells us, you know, what the latest thing that she's growing. And at the beginning of the lockdown, we were talking a lot about garlic. And then she came on again in October, I think it was, and she was talking about garlic again. So I'm guessing that garlic is something that, you know, because it's something that people can grow easily at home, not everyone has the space. So yeah, it's a good thing to start slowly. It's a good habit to start slowly and start with things that you can really use, you know what I mean? Because sometimes we grow things and we just kind of, we don't really have much use for it, and it kind of all withers away.
Oh, definitely. I think I've realized after this first year what I would grow again, and, you know, also like starting things a bit earlier, and yeah, because some things I just think also, unless you've got lots of space, you just get a few bits. Like I tried to grow some carrots, and I think I got about three, and although they were very nice carrots, it was I think I'd go for something else.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about savouries, and at the beginning we did talk about biscuits. But what are there any kind of traditional puddings or desserts that you might be tempted to go for?
Yeah, I mean, we always around Christmas, I mean, mince pies and a stollen, which is a kind of marzipan and raisin kind of cake. And we always actually have an Italian panettone at Christmas. And then, I mean, I feel like we just have everything. It's a bit much. Christmas cake and Christmas pudding as well, which my mum often makes the pudding anyway the year before. So it's really been like, I don't know, stewing for a good year. Really full of a lot of booze. As Christmas is, it's often like, you know, there's always a lot of food around.
I can't remember if it was I was having a conversation with someone this last week. It might have been in a class, and they were saying about how they usually spend their Christmas with piano in the background and, you know, food. And I was like, oh, that sounds so idyllic. And everyone's so different in the way that they spend their Christmas. But one thing that's interesting is that there's always a variety of different foods, you know, from sometimes the same dessert in different ways. So as you've just said, you know, you might have the Christmas pudding, and then you'd have the one with the whiskey, and then maybe you'd have, you know, a fruit one, but it's all Christmas pudding, it's just a different variety. And I guess that's where we all end up putting on so much weight afterwards.
Well, for sure, you have to have a bit of everything, you can't just choose one.
Yeah. And then I also then was watching, I think it was a program with, I don't know if you remember the lady who won Bake Off a few years ago, and she started doing a program, and she's gone across to South America, and the Cajun people, they were talking about how they eat when they come together. So they don't really have they don't have like set meals, they just have a buffet. And I think to myself, yeah, that's the kind of Christmas food that I like to eat. A little bit of everything.
Oh, definitely. I feel like that's and that's definitely way often like my family eats at home generally. They always make lots of little things and put them on the table, and especially at lunchtime, I think. And we just kind of enjoy all the like little bits, as opposed to having often when I go to my partner's house, they'll serve, like, you'll have your food on one plate, you'll kind of be served your meal, a bit like what you more when you're in a restaurant, where for us it's a bit more like, you know, just serve yourself lots of bits and you can have a bit of everything.
Yeah, and I think kind of like that, when you have, what, you know, the day after, you kind of don't have to hide it, because everyone knows what it's in the buffet. But if you have it as a set meal, people say, oh yeah, let's try and hide it into a different kind of meal. So you kind of avoid all those sort of, oh gosh, turkey again kind of conversations.
But then I guess it gets turned into something else. Like, I mean, I feel like we have turkey sandwiches and turkey curry and turkey salad, and it's like endless different versions. Christmas Day. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I'm an artist. I'm also a teacher of ceramics and pottery. My website, do you want me to say it now or I'm alexsimpson.co.uk. You can check out a bit of my work on there. It's not related to food whatsoever, but that's one of my passions alongside making art.
Well, it's really nice to talk to you, and thank you for sharing your memories with your mum in the kitchen, and also your favorite kind of food, Christmas. And we'll look forward to hopefully speaking to you at some time again in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Take care. Thank now. Bye.
Now. Bye.
Food is a passion that we can all enjoy. It doesn't matter what we do. We can incorporate our love for food into the everyday life, and just brings out that little bit of sparkle that we all need from time to time. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Alex. I've certainly enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to sharing my next conversation with you. And for now, I just hope you enjoy your planning, and that you find ways of getting variety into your Christmas table. If you're on Instagram, we will be having an Instagram live cooking session next Wednesday with one of the chefs from the school. And for now, enjoy your cooking. Bye for now.